Sahanao bhunaktu sahaviryam karavavahai tejasvinavajitamastumavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Page 35. Yes.
So, like in regards with the performance of devotional service in the four ages, like the Kali Yuga, the process is more direct. That we were discussing as about the Sankirtan directly we are performing. But as far as the ambience and the consciousness of the people is concerned, it goes down. So generally when we...
Yes, that's why, because the environment is less pious, you can't use these more pious systems as the exclusive method.
Sometimes, like, you know, I hear comparing between these and trying to prove that the Kali Yuga is a kind of, there is some glory in the...
No, there is a glory in that in such a simple way, so quickly, you can go back to Godhead. Because in the other ages, unless everything's exact, then you don't really get the proper benefit. But in this age, if you just chant the holy name and there's no rules, then you can go back, and you can go back in one lifetime here, which is 100 years, right? Dwapara is 1,000 years, right? Then 10,000 and 100,000. So it's it does have a glory. So you'll see these verses come up that they'll talk about the glories of the Kali Yuga because of that. Does that make sense? The point is. It's not that we're born in Kali Yuga. It's fortunate, but it's not that we're glorious. that we have to be able to discern.
Sometimes it goes out of proportion.
Yes, that's what we were discussing before, is that we're not seeing it in the proper proportion. Okay. We have some competition for last night. Okay. Nanda Maharaj continued, "In my opinion, Krishna and Balaram must be two exalted demigods who have come to this planet to fulfill some great mission of the demigods. Such was foretold by Garga Rishi." Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, "Overcome with pain, he considers that the cause of his pain is his affection, thinking of Krishna as the sun. In order to pacify his heart, he covers that conception of Krishna as the sun, or he speaks in misery, thinking that he should be ignored because of his low position and Krishna's high position." The two words cha indicate equal importance of Krishna and Balaram. Both of them are most merciful and affectionate to their friends. But we are not worthy of being recognized. Having come to the material world, they are Hari and Hara, Vasudev and Sankarsana, or the two outstanding members of the Chaturvyuha, for benefiting the Devatas by relieving the burden of the earth. Should they not give benefit to us mortals as well? Or among Devatas, they are the best Devatas, Suranam Surotamao. They have appeared in this world to benefit the devotees, Mahad Artaya, the Yadus, not us devotees. This is a statement of extreme misery. Or he made us happy by his pastimes, but by giving us up, he has produced the opposite result. He must be some Devata with some other mission. You know, that he would come to Vrindavan, be involved with the Brajabasis, and then leave them. Then they feel, well, they must have some other mission and all that. Because if the demigods have their own purposes, and all that. So, you know, they feel that they're greatly fortunate that they did come, but at the same time, because of that fortune, now they're even more miserable. Right? Because they had such great fortune and then they lost it.
Maharaj, your Nanda Maharaj, when he's speaking to Uddhava, so you're in this verse, he's getting out of the jnana aspect.
Getting out of the
jnana aspect.
Jnana.
Gyan.
Gyan. Okay.
Gyan. Okay. Yeah. So the thing is that just because
he's bringing out the gyan aspect.
Yeah, because Uddhava, you know.
So now let's say Krishna standing in a threefold bending form, playing his flute, you know, wearing a garland of forest flowers. He has the Kustuba gem. You know, he's smiling very nicely. You know, looking at the devotees with affection. So is that jnana?
No, in terms of this, wherein he says that Krishna is at a higher position and I'm at a low position. So, like, you know.
So you would call that jnana?
Yeah, because.
No, but I'm saying, yes, what I mentioned, yes, is that jnana or not?
That is also jnana. That is in Madhya.
So, in other words, any kind of knowledge is jnana. So if he says, it's time to take the cows out because the sun's come up, so we should go take the cows out, that would be jnana. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When we're discussing rasa, why try to extend jnana?
Because Ananda Maharaj right now is dealing with Uddhava, and Uddhava is from Dwarka. And
Ananda Maharaj is dealing with Uddhava,
and
he's adjusted because he's a Dwarkavasi. But isn't that why Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan, is to see what the Brajvasis do, not that he would go there and they would deal with him as a Dwarkavasi.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
That is also
interesting. Yeah, so in other words, Nanda Baba is just acting in his own natural position.
Okay,
but Sanatana Goswami then gives different reasons why, you know, he's taking this position. Because if he says that they're demigods and not his son, then it pacifies the heart, because if they're demigods, they're not technically his son, so he doesn't feel as bad because he's missing his son. But as we see, it doesn't work that great. You know what I'm saying? So these are just different effects based on his attachment for Krishna. So that's what we're appreciating here. Not that all are here, then Nanda Maharaj is speaking in, you know, the path of the jnani, and we try not to do that. In other words, that all stops at ninth canto. And because it is a difficulty to stop doing that for some time, don't worry. With 11th canto, we can start doing that again. You understand? But here, with the residents of Braj, they never function on these other platforms. Means if they're using these techniques, it's all based on prema. So you don't call it jnana. You know, just like tying your shoes, is that jnana? Right? You know, especially if it's only Velcro, right? Doesn't take any brains, right? Of course, you might put the two Velcro straps from each shoe together, then you might have a problem. So yeah, you need a little bit of brain, but. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't apply that to the residents of Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Because the purpose of Uddhava being to Vrindavan was that he should be influenced by the Brajvasis.
Yes, not the other way around. Mm-hmm. So therefore, then what's the point? If Uddhava goes to Vrindavan, and then the residents of Vrindavan that become influenced by the Dork, you know, the Mathura pastimes, mm-hmm, or mood, mm-hmm, then what's the point? What's the benefit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? In other words, you see Krishna in Dwarka taking on the mood of Jagannath because he's thinking about the pastimes in Vrindavan and separation and ecstasy. You don't see some pastime of Krishna in Braj thinking of Dwarka pastimes and, you know, yeah.
The initial purpose that Krishna sent at Uddhava is to pacify the residents of Vrindavan. However, we'll see that he actually intensifies their vipralamba with his visit, because he reminds them of Krishna, because he appears very similar to his form,
mm-hmm,
and even behavior. So how is that?
Yes. The point is we always have to remember that absorption in Krishna is the highest ecstasy. So that they're getting more absorbed in Krishna, because that's what they do. But Uddhava is able to experience that. Right? And so if he's the topmost devotee in Dwarka, then he means he's the closest on the edge to Vrindavan. So then he is able to see and appreciate that. Right? That will increase his devotion. And because his devotion is increased, if he's the top devotee in Dwarka, that will increase everybody else's devotion. You know, just like Rohini tells stories about Krishna and Vrindavan. Like that. You know, but they generally do when Krishna and Balaram are around, because they'll feel bad. Because they're worried that they'll feel separation and want to go there. So that's why then they close the door and you can't see. So when they all came, then they could only hear from outside, but they could hear. Right? Something like that. And then the problem is where does Jagannath go? Where does Jagannath go? Goes to Vrindavan, so you know that's what they were trying to avoid. Yeah. So the pastimes of Braja increase devotion everywhere, right? Bhishma Dev is talking about it, in Vaikuntha they talk about it, you know. So it's just one of, because they're the topmost devotees, naturally then they inspire everybody else, right? It's whatever. Whatever is your line of interest or focus, whoever is the best in that line it would be considered an inspiration for anyone in that area. Is that so? Yeah. And at the same time, as Krishna is interacting by sending the message and this and that, so they know he cares and this and that. But at the same time, that he sends something will bring out more ecstasy, but then because he's not there, it'll bring out more separation. So, you know, what can you do?
Like Maharaj, we see that Uddhava stays for some time, like 15, 20 days. He could give that association and taking association.
Yes, but because he'll go and he'll talk about Krishna and they'll talk about Krishna with him, and like Prabhu was saying, he'll remind them of Krishna because he looks like Krishna. Just, you know, he doesn't play a flute and he's dressed, you know, like a Dwarkavasi rather than, but otherwise physically he looks like Krishna. So, you know, he would be a devotee that has that, what do you call it? What is it?
Sarupya,
yeah, because he looks exactly like, I think some of his sons also. Yeah. I think it's, Prajumna looks exactly like him, like that. So a few devotees look like him. You know, Arjuna is the same color, Draupadi is the same color.
Also Aniruddha, the grandson also.
Aniruddha's grandson.
Like when the Chitralekha, she draws the full form of Krishna, form of Aniruddha, then first they see Krishna. Give me that like this, but there is difference, then Pradyumna, then she goes to
Aniruddha. Oh, okay.
Thanks.
It's coming up next.
Coming up next. Okay. Stay tuned. More stories. Nanda Maharaj continued, after all, Krishna and Balaram killed Kamsa, who was as strong as 10,000 elephants, as well as the wrestlers Chanura and Mustika, and the elephant Kuvalyapida. Right, so Kamsa is as strong as 10,000 elephants, Kuvalyapida was as strong as 1,000 elephants. They killed them all sportingly, as easily as a lion disposes of small animals. With the ease of a royal elephant breaking a stick, Krishna broke a powerful giant bow 3 talas long. Footnote 10. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, a tala, palm tree, is a measurement of about 60 hastas or 90 feet. Thus, the great bow Krishna broke was 270 feet long. Impressive. So, therefore, the bow sacrifice, right? It wasn't just any old bow. That's serious. And Krishna is able to string it and break it. And then, with half of it and half of it, then they killed everybody that came and attacked them, right? He also held the mountain aloft for 7 days with just one hand. Here in Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram easily destroyed demons like Pralamba, Dainuka, Arista, Trinavarta, and Baka, who had themselves defeated both demigods and other demons. Srila Sukadev Goswami said, Thus intensely remembering Krishna again and again, Nandamarsh, his mind completely attached to the Lord, felt extreme anxiety and fell silent, overcome by the strength of his love. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, so even if you want to take it as gyan, did it work? No, so then what's the point? So that's the point. Bhakti overcomes gyan. But the point is for him it's not gyan. Because gyan is how you act, the mood that you think of it. So Aishwarya is that you see Krishna and you see the opulence. Then sweetness means you see Krishna, you see the sweetness. The opulence is there, you can see it, but it's not what you see. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. While describing the uncommon activities of Krishna before Uddhava, Nandamarj gradually became overwhelmed and could no longer speak. As her mother Jashoda, she sat by the side of her husband and heard the pastimes of Krishna without speaking. She simply cried incessantly, and milk poured from her breast. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, his mind became attached to Krishna. By remembering the powerful aspect of Krishna, Nanda thought, oh, by misfortune, I have been separated from my son, who is the ocean of powerful qualities. His attachment to Krishna was such that, unlike Vasudeva, his relationship with Krishna did not weaken even in appreciating Krishna's great powers as the Lord. For his attraction to Krishna could not be restricted by that. So that's why we don't bring in the aspect of jnana. With his mind attached to Krishna in this way, he became helpless under the sway of paternal affection. In the presence of the supreme prema of Nanda, who like Agastya swallowed the whole ocean, what is the significance of an ocean of Aishwarya? Yeah, so therefore, we have to remember it's 10th canto is where we kind of leave all that on the side. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued, as Mother Jashoda heard the descriptions of her son's activities, she poured out tears and milk flowed from her breasts out of love. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, being able to control himself with gravity, Nanda was able to respect Uddhava as guest in the proper way, to look at him directly, to introduce himself, to ask pertinent questions, and to speak about Krishna's godly qualities. But Jashoda, drowning in the whirlpools of the ocean of unsteadiness, was not able to offer any hospitality. This is expressed in this verse. Continuously tears fell from her eyes and milk dripped from her breasts. In spite of hundreds of men and women giving advice to her from the day that Krishna left for Mathura, she would just say, I do not want to see anything except the face of my son. Tears poured from her closed eyes, soaking her clothing. She could not ask questions to Uddhava to understand who he was or to make him an object of affection, and could not give him messages for her son. Her breast, Payodara, flowed with milk out of affection for her son. Payodara also means cloud. Jashoda was like a cloud showering rain, or rain of tears or milk. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued, Uddhava then joyfully addressed Nanda Maharaj. Having clearly seen the supreme loving attraction he and Jashoda felt for Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, footnote 11, Srila Jiva Goswami comments to verse 29 in Priti Sandarbha Anucheda 174. Itam indicates that he had seen their great suffering and separation. Thus, his bhakti, on realizing their great suffering, becomes abhasa, or unsuitably expressing, abhasa, by unsuitably expressing joy at that time. This is resolved in the same way as Balaram laughing at Kaliya's lake. Since he came to console them, it was not suitable to show joy. Thus, joy arose suitably, born of astonishment at the greatness of their anuraga. Later they were pacified, Sukadev says. Right? So, in other words, with the mood that's going on then, it would be inappropriate to be joyful and all that. But his joy is coming at just appreciating the greatness of their affection. Right? Just like Balaram, he comes to the scene at Kaliya, and that everybody's lamenting there, and he laughs. He's just laughing at the amazing of Krishna's pastimes and how his yoga maya and all this is going on when he can easily defeat this snake. Right? So in that way it's reconciled. But otherwise, you know, one is careful about the moods that one's dealing with.
Like we observe here that the intensity in relationship, like in Vatsalya and above Madhurya, is very high.
That's some right, it says. What is it? Anurag. Right, means that's just below Mahabhav. So that's as high as it gets in the parental realm.
So even the perversion of it in the material world, still the intensity is like, no,
it's very great, yeah.
It's very great. So in the initial stages of Krishna consciousness, when we become devotees, because we don't have that anywhere near to that intensity in Krishna consciousness.
No.
So as soon as the intensity like is expressed when we are becoming Krishna conscious, like when we leave home from the homes and others, the intensity expressed at a very great extent. So then it saves away the mood of the person who is practicing.
That's only because of our, we are used to tasting, you know, this material rasa. And so then whenever that intensity is there in the material rasa, then we can become distracted. But the whole point is that we have to remember is that these come from Krishna. So if our purpose is to please Krishna, then we just see that these all come from Krishna. It should just remind us of Krishna. But as mentioned here, then you have the appropriate interaction that you have at that time. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, what is the proper mood, the proper words to speak, you know, proper attitude, all that you maintain. Because it's rasa. But the difference is the family may be only functioning on material rasa, while the devotees then are functioning on appreciating Krishna consciousness. But it doesn't mean that in dealing rasa, it's only one thing. It's not, you understand? So rasa is rasa. Now when it's seen in connection with Krishna, that's Vaikuntha. When it's seen in connection with the emotions and higher kind of like principles like that, but material, then that is Swargiya. When it's just seen in connection with the senses and yourself, that is Partiva. Does that make sense? So, but the mechanics of rasa are exactly the same. You know, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the examples that the Rasgula is the, you know, the object of affection for the tongue. And the tongue is the ashraya of that affection. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the sweetness of the Rasgula can be appreciated by the tongue. Right? Does that make sense? So rasa is the same. It doesn't change. But we'll notice just one slight little detail here that's interesting. We think we're the enjoyer, but actually the Rasgula is the enjoyer. We're simply the ashraya of that. You know what I'm saying? Because the Rasgula is so many things you could get from it. You can look at it, you can touch it, you can smell it, you can taste it. Right? So the whole thing is, you know, we can throw it at our friend. You know, so many things we can do, right? There's many, many things that can be done with this Rasgula. And so, therefore, then the tongue is the ashray of that. So the tongue is tasting, right? So, but the vishay is actually the main point, right? So we're not the enjoyer. Because ultimately, then as Krishna, he tastes, we taste. So Krishna is the enjoyer. Right? Does that make sense? So this idea that I'm going to engage my senses how I like and enjoy, no, you're not. Because we're not actually the enjoyer. Because here we're applying our enjoying propensity, or the propensity towards rasa, towards dead matter. That's why we don't get any, as long as the tongue is in touch with the rasgula, but as soon as the rasgula is gone, then there's no more experience. Because there's nothing deeper. Does that make sense? But let's say, like you're talking, relatives and all that, and they're showing all these symptoms of affection, even if you're not with them, then, you know, remembering that, it still gives an effect. While remembering the rasgula, you're still hungry. You know, it doesn't matter. You can remember all the rasgulas. You can imagine yourself going down to, you know, wherever it is the, you know, I think nowadays Vienne's is the good rasgulas. Going down there and they have that pot of rasgulas in the back and you jump inside and swim around and stuff like that. Still, you're hungry. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just, the Partiva Rasa only has the direct contact between the sense and the sense object. As soon as you remove the sense from the sense object, the experience is gone. Well, then the Swargiya, that will last longer. But eventually that also disappears. Only the Vaikuntha, that's then eternal, because you're dealing with Krishna. Because whatever you're dealing with in all these other rasas is actually Krishna, but not knowing it's Krishna, you don't get that benefit. Does that make sense? So that's from that side. So actually the enjoyment is Krishna, because he is the universal form. He is tasting it. That's why then you find it to be nice. Does that make sense? And so therefore, if you taste things that you're supposed to taste, then that's considered pious. You taste things you're not supposed to taste, it's impious, because then Krishna is having to deal with these things, and he doesn't want to deal with these things. Right? Okay. On the other side, then you have another aspect. So, of the two, if you look at it, just on the Partiva platform, who enjoys more, the tongue or the rasgula? The tongue. So then what does that mean? That means even though Krishna is the enjoyer, by serving him, we enjoy more than he enjoys. Otherwise, why come as Lord Chaitanya? If he was enjoying the top most, then why would you have a pastime of Lord Chaitanya? So then it comes down to being the vishay is overrated. Right? The ashray, now that's the thing. So, but the point is then do we want these temporary results for our endeavor when we could get eternal results? Because these temporary results don't satisfy the soul, right? It's only a projection. But if we connect to Krishna, then we're satisfied. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Many devotees also wonder why would Srila Rupa Goswami take Bharat Muni's science of rasa as the form for his own description of spiritual rasa.
Because rasa is rasa. It's one thing. Spiritual means it's connected to Krishna. Material means it's not connected to Krishna. But otherwise the rasa is the same. Because otherwise if it was different, how would we relate to it? We wouldn't be able to understand anything on the spiritual platform. But that's the whole point, is that we become envious of Krishna's enjoying on that spiritual environment, and we want to be the enjoyer. So since no one in the spiritual world will put up with that, therefore we're given the material world in which we can do that, because dead matter is not going to bother you, right? If we want to control a bunch of people, and they don't want to be controlled by us, then okay, then we, you know, we make holograms or make, you know, cutouts or something like that, and then you have a whole room full of people that you can sit there and talk and you this and you that and, you know, stuff like that. So that's what's been done. It's that, but the whole, everything's the same. It's just that the qualities of what you're working with and the environments within and the results of that rasa are so much greater. But the methods are still exactly the same. Like that. So how it works in the spiritual world, that is the perfect thing. And that's what's then documented in Bharat Munis. Like that. Now, most people will use Bharat Munis for material purpose. But the point is that is how rasa works. There isn't some other way. Does that make sense? So that's the whole fun, is that they're quoting Shastra, even though these things may have come from them in the first place. You know, just like, let's say, somebody does an interview with some big guy, and that's published in a magazine or something, you know, and well received. Then at another interview, because now they see he's a big guy, other magazines come to interview and all that, he might refer to that article in that other magazine when they say, you know, what do you think of this? Well, as I mentioned in that article, that, you know, this. You know what I'm saying? So it's not a problem to quote yourself. Is that something? So what Bharat Muni says, that is how rasa works. Because otherwise, in human pastimes, how do you follow Shastra unless it's already documented there? So that's why all these things are there. It means Lord Chaitanya's come to taste all these things. Therefore, Jayadev and Vidyapati.
Yeah.
Then they come and they write these songs. But who they are, what this and that, you know, everybody's got an opinion. As far as South India is concerned, he's from South. As far as Bengal is concerned, they know the place and they have a festival there every year. Some people in South know that and talk about that festival. Others say so there. I think they claim he's from Maharashtra. You know, of course, Bombay thinks everything's from there. But you know, the center of the universe. Because Bollywood, come on, it's got to be the center. You know, So, these personalities like Sridhar Swami, like this, they just come and they write these things, then everybody can. So Krishna just reveals these things so that his pastimes go on nicely. So all these things have been established and all that, and so therefore then Lord Chaitanya's associates can come and then they can, based on these, then show everything. Because if it's not based on Shastra, no one will accept it, so therefore the Shastra is already there. Because Shastra is just Krishna's breathing, so then naturally. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's even in Krishna's pastimes, Bharat Muni is mentioned. Like that. At the breakfast at Mother Jashoda's house, right? In the morning when, you know, Radharani and the gopis come over, they cook. And then they serve Krishna the Shukta Shakati Bhaji and the whole thing like that. Then while they're eating, then Madhu Mangal is there, and he says to Krishna, he says, actually Bharat Muni says that there's 8 Sattvika Bhavas. You know, I think that there's only 6. And then he goes through listing them. When I, you know, see the ladus made by Mother Jashoda, then my hairs stand on end. And he goes through, and then, you know, goes through that. And finally, when I taste them, then I'm stunned, you know, and can't, you know, like this. So, like that. So even in Krishna's pastime, they're quoting the scriptures. Because otherwise, then what's the fun, you know? Does that make sense? That's why we take the Shastra so seriously. At the same time but the approach to it, the mood for it, is just what the Goswamis give us. Because without that mood, you end up somewhere else. Because anyone pious accepts the scriptures. Right? But the mood in which that's done, that makes the difference. Does that make sense? So that's what we want to catch. So that's why this idea of opposing the scriptures and this and that's not a good idea, because Otherwise, what's the basis of one's devotional service? Then it comes down to it's just our speculation, because the acharyas follow the scriptures, and if we don't follow that, then we're on our own. And who's on their own except apasampradayas? So it's not a solid place. So we want to stay in line with the acharyas. Then that gives strength to what we're doing. Is that work or? Sri Uddhava said, "O respected Nanda, certainly you and Mother Jashoda are the most praiseworthy persons in the entire world, since you have developed such a loving attitude towards Lord Narayana, the spiritual master of all living beings." Right? Because Krishna in Dwarka is Narayan. Right? Because that's the feature that goes there, is Mahanarayan. And then in the past times, then they're Vasudeva and Sankarshan. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments. Uddhava stopped up the prema of Nanda and Jashoda by speaking the powers of the Lord, defining him in terms of neutrality to the world, and seeing him as the soul of all things. This had two goals. He could reduce the suffering by stopping their prema, since their suffering arose from their prema. This would fulfill one of Krishna's orders. That is the first goal. If Krishna came to Braja attracted by their prema, Krishna could not fulfill his duties to the Yadus and also great devotees. So then he also, if they are just and their suffering is less, then Uddhava will be thinking that then he'll be comfortable to stay and do his work in Mathura. Otherwise, then he'll have to come back, and then that work won't get done. By stopping, this would fulfill one of Krishna's orders. That is the first goal. If Krishna came to Braja attracted by prema, Krishna could not fulfill his duties to the Yadus, also great devotees. That is the second goal. So one is to pacify the residents of Braja. Two is to keep him in Mathura. Right? But it was impossible to stop their deep prema. Great devotees like Uddhava knew this by their experience. Moreover, stopping prema in the devotees will not destroy their suffering, but rather increase their suffering, since prema with its transformations is the form of highest bliss. So the suffering that's there is only, we only say it's suffering. But actually, it's because it takes on that flavor. But it's the highest transcendental bliss. The devotee's joy and prema shines in the Lord. The people of Braja play. Wherever we are made to wander about this world by the Supreme Lord's will, in accordance with the reactions to our fruit of work, may our good works and charity always grant us love for Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-67. Right, so they're just always wanting to be absorbed in Krishna, because that's actually where the taste is. Secondly, if the Lord comes to Braja sometimes to please his parents, it does not destroy his relationship with the Yadus, since he is still with them. Moreover, this explanation is not according to the manifested pastimes where Krishna did return. Because their experience of affection in seeing Krishna as their son, they always saw Krishna as their son rather than the Lord. Jashoda saw him as her son rather than the universal form, since that perception was the highest. The explanation in which Jashoda sees him as the Lord is false. This is the meaning. Astonished by the intense prema of the couple, Uddhava first praised them with four verses. In verse 34, he says that Krishna will return. In this way, he comforts the couple completely. Not only did he comfort them, but Krishna did return, as stated by the people of Dwarka. O lotus-eyed Lord, when you go to Hastinapur or Braja to see your friends, one moment becomes like a trillion years for us, who belong to you and who become like eyes without the sun. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:11-9. So then he's proving he does go back. you know, as you said before. Because in the unmanifest pastimes, he's always there. In the manifest pastimes, then he's not there, and then he goes back. Right? So they'll have that aspect. So that's the point of separation. So in the two pastimes, then they experience both. Right?
The Jarasandha pastime, particularly in Jarasandha and the Rajasuya Yagya, then Krishna returns to Braja. That is what is
mentioned. That's what's mentioned. Yeah. Okay. In Rajasuya.
After Rajasuya.
After.
Yes.
There were no other friends in Mathura area at that time except the people of Braja. First, Uddhava praises the couple. In this world, among men, devatas, and sages, you two certainly are most worthy of praise. Devotees are to be praised. Prema bhaktas are praised more. The devotee with special affection is praised the most. You too are most worthy of praise. Oh, most worthy of respect. I give respect to you since you are dedicated to the Lord of all jivas, not INA. The guru of all, including Brahma, thinking of him as your son. Though Uddhava describes the Lord's greatness, he is ultimately glorifying Nanda and Yashoda, right? Because he's talking about the greatness of the Lord, but he's glorifying Nanda and Yashoda because despite this, they still see him as their son, right? When the Dwarkavasis, when the activities that show his greatness as the Lord are manifest, they drop the relationships and just relate to him as the Supreme Lord, right? As Devaki and Vasudev, after he killed Kamsa and did all these things, then they understand he's the Supreme Lord. So even though he came and offered his obeisances, they didn't come forward and embrace him. So it's until he extends the Yoga Maya again, then only then they start to act in that way. Right? Does that make sense? That's why Dwarka is counted as Vaikuntha. Right? So Dwarka and Mathura are Vaikuntha. But they're there with all the five rasas and that. So it's you could say Maha Vaikuntha. Like that. Because the place of Mahanarayan, that's these pastimes. Does that make sense? So that's where the original Lord is coming from, though that may or how much that's appreciated or not, that's another thing. So it's there. But Braja, then even he's great and all that, then it doesn't disturb their affection for Krishna. In fact, just remembering Krishna, that increases their love for him. So even though Mother Yashoda saw the universal form, it doesn't distract her thinking Krishna is her son. Point is, you know, he wants to keep the universal form in his mouth, that's fine, but there shouldn't be any dirt in there. You know, that's the point. You know. Right. Yes.
So from the rasa point, if we look closely, that it appears that what form of Krishna stimulates their rasa, like sattvika bhavas, that's what actually defines the Vaikuntha vasis or the Krishna vasis. They look at the same person, but from a different perspective.
Yes, that's the point of the jnana shakti. You know, when we're talking about ichakriya and jnana. Jnana, then, that's the source of whether it's sweetness or aishwarya. It means, what is your knowledge of Krishna? How do you see Krishna? Right? Because jnana means how you perceive things.
Right?
Sambandha jnana is how you perceive. What's your relationship? So, when they perceive through aishwarya, then that defines the whole relationship. But if they see through sweetness, that defines that. So, like you said, doesn't matter what they see. If they see sweetness, then, you know, they'll appreciate the sweetness, but then Krishna is so great, he has these sweet pastimes. And the those on the platform of sweetness, they even see the pastimes of majesty. It just increases their love for Krishna, that aspect of sweetness, because it's he who's sweet, he's doing those. So it's just a matter of who you see. Is the Lord of Vaikuntha doing sweet pastimes, or is that the Lord of sweetness, then he's also doing these other Vaikuntha pastimes? Right. So, and Mother Yashoda and Nanda Baba, they don't think so much about that aspect. But for the gopis, it doesn't matter to them. They're, you know, like they can use any reference to. So. Yeah. Uddhava continued, "These two lords, Mukunda and Balaram, are each the seed and womb of the universe, the creator and its creative potency." Right? So that's the thing, is he's everything. Right? It's not that he's one and then the other. No, he's everything. They enter the hearts of living beings and control their conditioned awareness. But still, as the creator, he acts in one way. As the creative, he acts in another way. But it still is him. So that's why is that even though it's all one, there's difference. Right? So for the impersonalists, they can only see the one. They can't see the difference. Right? For those that can see the difference, then they can't see the oneness. But the point is they both go on at once. Because Krishna is both, but they have different flavors.
That means he's both the efficient cause and the material cause.
Yes, he's everything. They enter the hearts of living beings and control their conditioned awareness. They are the primeval supreme. Anyone, even a person in an impure state, who absorbs his mind in him for just a moment at the time of death, burns up all traces of sinful reactions and immediately attains the supreme transcendental destination in a pure spiritual form as effulgent of the sun. Right? So that gives hope for us because it says anyone, even a person in an impure state, if they can absorb the mind for just a moment at the time of death, then you can go to the spiritual world. Right? So that's why the point is that remember Krishna at the time of death, you go to the spiritual world. Right? And then once you get to the spiritual world, whatever's lacking in our consciousness, then that will be adjusted there, as we see in the Braj pastimes. Right? And so all those different stages and pastimes that are there are to bring all the devotees there who are come up from as sadhakas to the platform of prema, like the eternal associates of the Lord. Right? You too have rendered exceptional loving service to him, Lord Narayana, the super soul of all, and the cause of all existence, the great soul who, although the original cause of everything, has a human-like form. What pious deeds could still be required of you? Right? Because they have that affection, so what pious deeds should they perform, you know, to improve their situation? So his point is there are no pious deeds. That is the topmost form of piety. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, "This is the result of Krishna conscious practice. We practice Krishna consciousness in this present body while in a healthy condition and in good mind. Simply by chanting the holy Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, we will have every possibility of fixing the mind upon Krishna at the time of death." Right? Because whatever's important to you, that's what you're going to take shelter of. So what is our constant remembrance? What is our shelter? That's where we're going to go. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's why we may be doing so many different things, but we see them always in connection with Krishna. Right? We can't, even if we say, no, but it's service to Krishna, but is the service to Krishna the important thing, or is the medium of that service important? You know, as the example the Prabhupada gives of the pujari whose service was to bring water for the deities every day for the bath. And then when he's on his deathbed, he's worried who's going to bring the water. But he's not thinking of Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So, it's thinking of Krishna. So we perform all these activities to remind us of Krishna, that Krishna is the most important. So it always has to go back to there. Yeah? If we do this, then our lives become successful without any doubt. But if we keep our minds always absorbed in fruitive activities for material enjoyment, then naturally at the time of death we shall think of such activities and again be forced to enter material conditioned bodies to suffer the threefold miseries of material existence. Does that make sense? Right? So, you know, if you think of anything material, you take shelter of anything material, then that's going to bring you here. That's why we, as Vaishnavas, you know, are not interested in the contemporary social economic systems. And as a major aspect of our devotional service, because we have to remember, if Rupa Goswami doesn't accept Varnashram as devotional service, he's definitely not going to accept the modern speculative methods of atheistic morality as devotional service. And so we think that, well, when everybody is nice, or when there's equality, or, you know, everybody is, you know, kind, or, you know, everybody has that community spirit, or everybody's, you know, growing carrots out in their backyard, or whatever it is that you think is the real thing that's going to make it happen for Krishna consciousness. If you think of these things, then you have run the risk of becoming a carrot in your next life. Now, the only benefit from that is being a carrot, and you've thought of it in the devotional, you know, in that context where you're thinking about it indirectly, so it's not technically devotional, but hopefully you become a devotional carrot, and that somebody will pick you and offer you to Krishna, right? And so then you may get liberated from that situation, and then hopefully then one can move forward with devotional service. But Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya are offering a system that we do not have to become a carrot first, right? I mean, Shankaracharya didn't say, first become a carrot, then we'll talk. He did not say that, right? That's not the method. Does that make sense? So we have to avoid these fruit. Not that we're not engaged in our duties, but we're only engaged in the duties to please Krishna with the results of these duties. But if we think that the fruit of activities are going to make Krishna consciousness better, then we run the risk at the time of death of remembering that and ending up in a material situation. Right? That's why then Krishna in the Gita then explains those that have that attachment to the material, the devotees, then after death, then they go to the heavenly planets to be involved in those things that are the distraction for them. Whatever it is their distraction, they'll get it there in the heavenly planets. And they'll be absorbed in that for some time, and then after some time, when that's satisfied, they'll come back down and be born in, you know, nice families, religious families like that. So they could take up the activities that of devotional service, or they could take up the activities of piety that was their attraction that got them to the heavenly planets in the first place. Right? Then the second is that if somebody's fixed in devotional service and all that, but somehow or another doesn't remember Krishna in that way, but doesn't remember fruit, he doesn't take shelter of fruit of activities, they take birth in the families of devotees. So that's very different. Does that make sense? So those who take birth in devotee families, they don't need to go technically through the whole neophyte rigmarole of being attached to all these different things, because they already went past that, but not past enough to go back to Godhead. Does that make sense? So it's a different thing for them. Does that make sense? Yeah. But if you think of Krishna, no matter what your position, even when it's a neophyte, then you go to Krishna. Right? Then one doesn't take birth in the material world.
So, Maharaj, you're saying that Pujari, he's just focused on the pot of water and making sure it's there, and he's thinking about it at the time of death, as opposed to thinking of Krishna. So his intention is not correct.
It's not complete.
Complete.
You know, so that's what we mean by the person will take birth as in the family of devotees. Because he's not taking shelter of fruit of activities, so he no need to go to the heavenly planets. Because if you're not into fruit of activities, why go to the heavenly planets? Like, you know, if you're not into shopping or buying anything, why go to a mall? Right? You know, so it's the same thing. So someone like that will take birth in the families there, in which then he can continue to get water. Right? You know. Then at some point, hopefully he remembers Krishna, then he goes to Krishna. But the point is that since remembering Krishna is the natural position of the soul, anybody can do that. So it's not depending on how advanced you are, it's how much you're absorbed in Krishna. Right? So if you take shelter of Krishna, then you'll go back to Godhead. That's the whole point.
Therefore,
to remain always absorbed in Krishna consciousness was the standard of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, as exhibited by Maharaj Nanda, Jashoda, and the gopis. If we can simply follow in their footsteps, even to a minute proportion, our lives will surely become successful, and we shall enter the spiritual kingdom by Kunta. Srila Jiva Goswami comments. Not seeing signs of satisfaction in Nanda and Jashoda by his description, Uddhava again described the two boys in two verses. The singulars used since Krishna and Balaram are non-different. Any jiva who absorbs his pure mind without relation to the senses, for even a moment in Krishna at the time of death, immediately attains the supreme goal. Krishna is the root form or revealer of all atmas, or all forms of the Lord and all jivas. The cause is Narayana. Does he have four arms? He is Brahman in human form, Martya Murtao. You manifest Anuraga, Bhavam, to him to the highest degree, more than Vasudeva and Devaki. O great soul, you have the highest nature, since you possess such Anurag. The word Va indicates a movement of his eyebrow. What remains for you two to do? Everything is perfect. It only remains for Krishna to satisfy you. It means they're doing everything perfect, so the only thing left is Krishna's interaction with them. And therefore, then, he sent a messenger and things like that. Uddhava continued, Infallible Krishna, the Lord of the devotees, will soon return to Vraja to satisfy his parents. Footnote 12. Here Uddhava begins to deliver Lord Krishna's message. Right? Before he had his goals, he's come to pacify them, but at the same time he's also come to see that Krishna and Balaram stay in Mathura. But, so now he's now starting to deliver the message. You know, which is actually the first point. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, Oh dear Uddhava, I have heard you are very intelligent, but now I see you are foolish because you have simply praised us. Oh, who is there in the three worlds more unfortunate than us, from whose house such a wonderful son has gone away? We are the object of scorn for all. Anticipating this statement, Uddhava says, Achyuta, not falling from not breaking his promise, will come very soon to Braja. Functioning just as protector of the Yadus, he will remain here and fulfill all your desires. So he just has that function that is there, but he will come to Braja and take care of them, you know, make them happy.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.